Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod. This is episode 144. Four fours, Esther's lucky numbers, and of course, I've got my bestie Est here with me. Est, welcome back to the pod. It's been a couple of weeks, I think. How are you?
Yeah, happy to be here. Excited. And what have I been up to? Just continuing to build in the running side of things. I'm up to like week three now, which is, I've just finished that. So that was like 25 minutes of 3 minutes of running, 1 minute walking. And then on Sunday, I get to start 25 minutes of 5 minutes running, 1 minute walking. So it's getting up there. And then in another like 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be running like 25 minutes straight. So yeah, I'm really excited. I have to go slower than maybe other people would because of my Achilles history. And so far, touch wood, it's pretty good. It's definitely like a little bit there on the right side, but I'm managing it pretty well. I think maybe because I climbed up the mountain by my house last Sunday, that might have made it a little bit angry. But yeah, I don't care because I wanted to do it and I'm managing it, so it's fine. And so yeah, I'm excited to build up to that point where I can run, maybe it's not going to be fast, maybe like 4.5Ks or something, and just build from there. So once I get to that point, I'll just slowly build up to like an hour and then just keep going. And then I'll be able to bring in speed work and stuff. So it's going to be a slow process, but it's really fun. And I'm not putting that much pressure on myself to do like heaps of cross training on the other days as well. I often go for like a big walk, or sometimes I'll jump on the bike and do some sort of bike thing. But I'm gymming real hard. So I'm gymming 3 times a week. I've progressed to the intermediate plan in Femi now. And I'm loving it. It's so fun to have something to follow and I don't even think about it. And I do my little core glute routine at the end from the lovely Grace, who continues to help me. She's such a legend. But yeah, so it's going good and I feel like I'm getting stronger. Yesterday I did 50 kg squats, which I was pretty proud of that, because not that long ago, like I was just doing, body weight squats, or like obviously wasn't doing anything for like 12, 13 weeks. So yeah, I'm very happy about that. And then what else has been going on? I got my MRI results back, which was great news. So no cancer, which is really good. And my bloods are all good so far. So yeah, just keep up with all that monitoring. But yeah, so far so good. I also saw a cancer psychologist yesterday, which was really nice. She was so cute. She was like the Scottish lady. And yeah, she was just really cool. And I loved her accent so much. It reminded me of Shrek. So I was trying not to put on accents because I quite often do put on an accent. So I had to like make sure that I didn't, because she'd be like, is she mocking me or something? But I'm not. I just do that, as Lydia knows. So yeah, that was really nice. And she was cool. And she was just, so understanding and stuff. So enjoyed that. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to. And then just, hustling on something very exciting in Femi, which maybe at the end we can throw some hints as to what's coming your way. So yeah, but it's going to be cool. And it's some gals that potentially haven't been able to use Femi yet. So very exciting times coming.
Very exciting times coming. There's always new things coming out in the app. And yeah, we can give you a little teaser of that at the end. So it's a good incentive for you to hang around for this entire episode.
Exactly. Don't skip forward. You have to listen up.
Skip forward.
What have you been up to, Liddy?
Well, just before we move on, like, what is the psychologist, like, what was the session like? A cancer psychologist? Do they kind of just talk through your experience?
Yes, because it was the first one. So we just talked through everything that happened and how I've been feeling now, like coming out the other side, and just like, because I've been quite like emotional, and I feel like quite like a shorter fuse than normal. Like I kind of like things that before wouldn't have made me feel upset or overwhelmed. I'm like, I feel like I don't have as much resilience for life and like stress and stuff. So she was just explaining why that happens, and it all makes so much sense. Like, yeah, when you go through something like that and then you come out the other side, like your body's kind of in threat mode still, or like your nervous system stress. So anything else that comes on top of that, you're not going to be able to handle it as much as normal. So yeah, she was just reminding me to be nice to myself and stuff. And because I used to have health anxiety quite badly. Next, we're going to do one more session together. And we're just going to like talk through that and make sure we've got tools. I don't think it will come back. I honestly feel like this experience has made me be like, I don't want to waste my days being so worried about something that I don't know for sure, so for certain. Or yeah, I mean, I am grateful that I had it, because I feel like it definitely made me very vigilant and had those previous scans to help get me seen sooner and stuff. So that was like pretty lucky in terms of actually been having something quite serious. But yeah, no, we talked about that quite a lot and stuff. And yeah, the first one I think is just more like information gathering and like figuring out how I'm feeling and stuff. And then we'll talk about it a bit deeper next time and like things that I can work on and stuff. But yeah, she was so nice. And I'm like, what a legend of a lady to do that job, because it would be a really hard job. Like she would be talking to people of all different stages and stuff. But like some people, you know, might be dealing with the fact that maybe they're going to lose their life soon and stuff. So yeah, she was pretty cool and really appreciated her. And that's all free, you know, that's a pretty cool service. Very grateful.
That's so good. Yeah, I think having that support is so important. And even when I lost Dad, like I went and saw a counselor, and that was covered. It was like an in-house counselor at the hospice. But I'm like, even people, I mean, everyone loses, people lose people every day, so it's probably really hard. But even just like, if there was like government funding to help people through grief, would be so good. Maybe there's like grief groups you could go and join. I haven't even looked into that, but I feel like that would be helpful as well, because just like having people to talk to is always good, especially people that have like gone through what you've been through, you know, like.
Definitely. Yeah, I do. I wish mental health was one of the primary focuses, you know, of where our tax money goes to and health and stuff. But fortunately, it's not really like it's not treated as severely as like physical health, you know, even though it is completely linked to that. And I guess you just can't see it as much in terms of like you can't have a scan and say, you know, I'm depressed or anxious or whatever. So yeah, I do wish there were better systems in place for mental health and people going through like traumatic experiences like you. A grief group would be cool. I reckon that would really help, because you always say like when you meet someone who's also lost a parent, you feel instantly connected to them. So like having that connection with lots of people might be really healing.
Definitely. Maybe I should start like a there's like a group. It's kind of like taking the piss out or like making a dire situation funny, but it's called the Dead Dad Club, and lots of girls on TikTok are like part of the Dead Dad Club. And I'm like, maybe we should make a Dead Dad Run Club, you know, we can all like run together in grief.
Definitely. Yeah, I reckon.
What have I been up to? Just Well, I have recently become a mom. I keep playing like the a mamacita trending audio, but I got a little puppy. His name is Rafiki, like the monkey from The Lion King, and he's my little baby. So I have been trying to balance being a full-time working athlete mum, which shout out to all the mums out there. It's hard. It's hard looking after this little puppy, but he is adorable and the light of my life. So I'm very grateful to have him. He's currently just asleep at my feet, but he's probably going to wake up and go crazy soon. But yeah, I've been looking after him. Running for the last couple of weeks has been all good. I've just been like kind of chipping away. Did the race at Auckland, the 11K, a few weeks ago now, and I pulled up from that pretty fine. I was If you listen to the podcast, you would know I was kind of sick leading into that race. So I don't feel like I could push myself to the absolute limit, which is a good, it's a good way to kind of bounce back faster from the race because I didn't push my body so physically hard. But I have just been trying to like enjoy running and have been running at a few different run clubs recently and went and joined St. and Manly last Tuesday and did a session with them, which was fun because it's the first time I've like kind of joined another group to do a session in a long time. So it's always good. I always feel a little bit awkward at those sessions because I really like going quite hard when I do my speed sessions and I probably look like a bit of a psycho from the outside. But I just love like pushing myself. And yeah, sometimes it's maybe not the right setting to do so, but it's fun. And yeah, I've just been kind of chipping away. This week I've tried to like the fact that I've only had Rafiki for not even a week, I've been like trying to just not get too consumed by running and just know that it's like a time and a place and not get too upset if I don't run on a day because I've got to look after him and manage. I've got heaps going on in my own personal life at the moment too. So I'm just trying to like balance all of that. Which is always a fun game and hard to like not feel guilty if you're not getting outside and going for a run or moving your body with purpose. Like I definitely like as I'm sure many of our listeners get those guilts, but it's normal and just knowing that you're not like gonna lose your fitness because you haven't gone for a run for a couple of days, it's all good. Actually it's probably gonna do me more good than harm. So I'm just trying to enjoy that and have a bit of a more relaxed mindset around running right now. I think heading into the end of the year as well, there's a lot going on. And yeah, I just want to be able to enjoy running. And that's what we're going to chat more about today is just like how we can have a good relationship with running and actually enjoy it and run happy, but still perform well. Because I think there's this idea, and a lot of people probably look at elite runners and think, oh, they just do that as a job. They probably don't actually enjoy it. They're just like out there smashing themselves all the time, pushing themselves into like the absolute ground and grinding and being uncomfortable and not enjoying it. But from personal experience, the times where I have run the best are the times where I actually have been really happy and relaxed in myself and in my body. And I've been able to like focus on training but not get too consumed by it. And that's where I think the performance comes the most. And I feel like you're the same. Yes, like some of the best races we've had, I have been at times where they've probably been the least expected. Like we've either just like had a really relaxed mindset around it or like I mean, I know that you've run really well when you've had like nights out leading into the race because you just probably are more relaxed and not going into the race being like, I have to run a certain time and hit these certain splits and have all this pressure on like pace. You've just been like, oh, well, I don't know what's going to happen today, but let's just give it a crack and see. And then the outcome is like being really positive. There's got to be some sort of like science behind all of that.
Yeah, totally. It makes sense because I feel like when you put so much pressure on yourself to like run a certain time or run a PB or something, that can like steal the joy away from it. But if you have like reasons that it could potentially go badly, you've initially taken that, like you've almost instantly taken that pressure off. And so I think that's why like when I've had those nights out and stuff, I'm just like, oh man, we'll just see what happens. Like, probably gonna run like crap because I had a big night and I have to go race. Like I ran my 800 PB. I went out on the Friday night and I planned on not going out for long, but there was a series of events that made me stay out longer. It wasn't my fault. And then I probably, I did have a few drinks for sure. And then I slept almost like just like lays around all day Saturday. I slept in Saturday. And then the race was on Sunday, so I had a massive sleep Saturday night, and then the race was Sunday evening. So, I did have one night in between. But oh, honestly, I thought I was gonna run so bad, and then I ran like 800 PB, and like, still is my 800 PB. And so, yeah, like I just think pressure is like somewhat good to a degree, like a small amount. But honestly, like, I just don't think it's that beneficial. Like, from the people that I've talked to and the people that I've coached and like the experience gained from working with these people, with all these people and friends that run, the pressure we put on ourselves to run certain times and paces steals the joy from running. Like it really does, because, and like we've talked about this, like running is really hard and there are so many things that can happen on the day that can influence how you feel, or you know what the week's been like leading up. Like we just don't know how the day's going to go. So if we're so rigid in the goal that we're trying to achieve and all our joy and energy is placed on that, and then it doesn't happen, like it just takes away everything from the journey as well, and like the day and the atmosphere. I just think honestly pressure is just not that great. Especially internally, I think. Like, yeah, I think having goals, I love what Soraya says, our run leader from Auckland, having big goals but holding them loosely. So we're not saying like don't want to achieve something, but just know that it might take 5 or 6 times to actually achieve it. And that's fine, because like, yeah, you have the belief that you're actually going to do it one day, but it doesn't have to happen that time. So yeah, that's why I think, like you say, Liz, the times when you take all the pressure off yourself, because there's been things in the lead up that haven't gone that well, or, you know, instantly you're not as stressed. And yeah, that's often when you run the best. And I've definitely experienced that. And I know you have too.
Yeah, I reckon like what you say about joy in the journey is the most important thing, because happiness is defined as like finding joy in the pursuit of chasing your like goals or your dreams, or even just following a journey. Finding joy in that journey is really what happiness is. It's that cliche saying of like happiness isn't a destination, and happiness does look different on everybody. But I think there's kind of 3 key things that I would try and kind of hone in on when it comes to performing well and then also finding that joy. And the first one is exactly that, pressure. Like how can you find the right balance of pressure, like enough pressure to be motivated and driven and believe in yourself that you can do that, but not too much pressure that you crumble under that and then you don't enjoy it and you start making decisions that aren't quite right for you. I think that pressure, finding a balance in pressure, is important. I think finding a balance in focus is also really important. Like I think for me, I've gone through times in my running career where I've been so hyper focused and fixated on my training and doing everything quote unquote like perfectly that it's been not enjoyable, and then the pressure has increased and I haven't been able to achieve those goals, and then when I haven't got to those goals my identity is completely destroyed and it's like more mentally harming than anything. And I think that's like really important, is like finding the right level and balance of focus. So like putting enough focus on what you want to do because you genuinely want to respect that pursuit that you're on, but not too much focus that you get so hyper fixated, which I think a lot of women are probably guilty for, particularly the A-type personalities like myself, who do like fixate on things and just like will do everything and anything to reach their goal. And then I think the last one is stress. And I think that's something that you and I have chatted about heaps. Yes, is like finding the right balance of stress and then prioritizing where that stress is coming from. And if it is that you want to be a good athlete and you want to perform well over your training block to get to that race or that goal, your stress should mostly be coming from your physical stress of training and being able to adapt to that stress without too much stress coming in from anywhere else. So trying to control how much emotional stress you're under, how much work stress you're under, relationships, all of that, trying to eliminate that as much as possible so that the major stress that you're putting on yourself is the physical stress, because as an athlete, your physical body is like one of the most important things. So being able to adapt to that stress is so key. So I think for me, that's probably like the 3 things, is like balance and stress, focus and pressure. And if you can do all of those things, then you can like enjoy the journey and at the same time get yourself in the best position to reach your goals.
Yeah, I love that, Lids. And I think based on that, it's important to like, I guess, go on a journey of self-discovery. Like, what are the things that make you feel pressure? What are the things that help you give the right amount of focus to your running? And then what are the things that you can do to like reduce those stresses? Or is it that you want to run a marathon, but you've got 2 kids and a high stress job, So you're aware of that and you know that you should probably only be running 3 or 4 times a week. And like, that's probably going to be better for you than running, you know, 6 times a week for a marathon or something. Like, obviously everyone's different, but like knowing yourself and knowing what you're capable of, and managing those, I guess, managing yourself in a way that's going to help you get there safely and uninjured and sustainable, like train sustainably, is way more important than, you know, smashing yourself. So I think just being aware of you as a person, what ticks you off. Like for me, in the past, and I talk about this a lot, but like I get quite obsessed with like data and like heart rates and paces and like, and I just know that I do. And I've also given the old Strava a few good cracks and just realized it's not good for me. Like it puts pressure on me to run faster than I should be or compare myself to others. And that takes away from the joy of the journey. So yeah, in this comeback, as I mentioned last time we had a podcast, I won't be using like a data-driven watch. I've just got a little Casio watch that I use for time. And I'm doing that because I'm aware of me and what makes me feel pressure. And the pressure I put on myself often comes from potentially what I think others thought of me in the past. You know, like if I run this pace for a long run, I could share it. Or if I don't run that pace for a long run, I probably wouldn't share it. You know what I mean? So I feel like if you're that type of person, understanding yourself and then leaning into other ways of running that reduces that pressure is super important. And I have a friend who, she's a phenomenal runner. She's run like a 2:48 marathon now. But she would never ever even really talk about what she was trying to run, and like she would kind of have it somewhere in her mind that she maybe wanted to run like a sub-3 or something, but she would never really hyper fixate on it, and she would just see how she felt on the day. And I just saw how amazing that was for her mindset versus like other friends that I've known that have been like, I need to hit this time for this split. If I don't, and then when in reality, like, you might not hit that time in that split. And if you don't, your mind's going to probably go down a negative spiral because you've got so much pressure on yourself to hit these sort of milestones in a race. So I think just knowing yourself is super important. And what you mentioned before about the focus thing, Liz, yeah, there's heaps of research on that. And, like, elite athletes that are hyper-focused only on their sport and don't have anything else alongside it often do become like consumed with it, and then also have higher rates of mental health when they retire, mental health issues, because they haven't had other things to, like, I guess, distract them along the way and put their energy into. And even myself, I remember when I had a really great season when I ran the 800 PB that I was talking about, and I was running really, really well. And then I was like, I'm going to put more energy into running. And so I quit my full-time job and went like part-time and went hard out with my like nutrition and all the stuff, and I ran worse, you know, because it was too much pressure and too much focus, and I probably should have just kept doing what I was doing, and who knows, I may have run a lot better. So yeah, you live and you learn, but knowing yourself is really important, and staying true to yourself. Like, you don't have to do what other people do what is right for you, and makes you feel good when you run.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, is like understanding what makes you feel good and what lights you up and what motivates you, and like understanding your why when it comes to running, I think, is incredibly important. And something that I talk to a lot of my athletes and our community about is just knowing exactly that. Like, we have a lot of people who turn up to our weekly run clubs on Fridays, and we have this beautiful community of women who come together and run, and for a lot of them, their why is to build friendship and build community and make friends and build these like lifelong relationships with other women who are like-minded to them. And that is why they run. And it isn't necessarily always about their performance or ever about their performance. And all they want to do is be able to get outside, feel good in themselves, and run with their friends and go for coffee. And that's incredible. Like, that's a really healthy relationship to have with running. And then for other people, it is potentially wanting to break PBs and run certain times and I think understanding that why can just like allow you to find your happiness in the sport. And for people who do want to break PBs and run fast times, I think being able to follow a program is like so important, because that's what's going to like give you, I guess, give you the progress over a certain amount of time, but also give you moments where you can enjoy it and see kind of those like ups and downs throughout the journey to get to that goal as well. But I think what I'm trying to say here is like a lot of people who run for community find it hard to follow a program because their main thing is wanting to run to be with their friends, which is completely incredible. But if you are someone who wants to like go and make progress, it can be quite hard to kind of balance those two things, and like trying to figure out the right balance of like wanting to run to be with your friends and also wanting to run to become a better runner and see yourself progress in your performance as a runner. It can be really hard to do that, because having a program is what's going to make you a better runner, but having a program also restricts you or puts up barriers to actually go and just run with your friends, if that makes any sense. So I think you can kind of fluctuate between those two things, like spend time in the community and spend time just enjoying running with other people. But then when you do want to kind of turn it up and make progress and reach PBs or train towards certain races, I think it's really important to like take a step back and be like, okay, my priority for the next 12 weeks as I work towards this marathon or half marathon or 10K, whatever it is going to be to tick off these sessions. And these sessions is what's going to make me a better runner. And I might have to sacrifice going to these particular run clubs for that 12-week block, because if I go there, then I'm not going to be actually doing what is right for me in my training to get to my goal. And then once you get to that goal and you do that race, then you can kind of go back and join your communities again. But it's definitely something that we've seen a lot in the running world at the moment, is people who are wanting to like go and run with all these run clubs, and they love that social connection, but they are sacrificing becoming a better runner because they're not actually doing something that's personalized to them. So I think once you kind of figure out your why, and if it is just to make friends, then definitely go do that and run with your run clubs. But if you do want to like see yourself progress over weeks and months and years of running, then following a program is really important. But you want to, at the end of the day, have fun doing it. So figuring out that balance, I think, is difficult. And I mean, I think you and I have been there as well. It's like we've definitely been at times where we go and join all these run groups and do all this fun, like different training that maybe has lit us up in one way, but hasn't actually helped with our physical performance in other ways. So it's all learning curves. But I think if you are, yeah, someone who does want to like break a PB, you do have to focus, but not too much. Balance and everything.
I know, it's always that, eh? It's just like finding the right balance of everything. Because yeah, you do want a little bit of pressure and you do want focus and you do want a little bit of stress, but it's always when it's too much that it's like not good for you. And yeah, the group thing is real interesting, because you know, if you go and do a track session with a group that's not really like a proper coach, or they're all training for something different, like you're not really going to get like a tailored session. You might just do some 8 400s or something and you're trying to run a marathon. Like it's a very different type of training. So yeah, you're bang on, like you got to figure out what your goals are. And then unfortunately that means you might have to run a little bit more by yourself, or find a buddy or people who are on the same training journey as you. But yeah, you gotta put your own goals and what you're trying to achieve first. And I've actually had to do that with like actual running groups. So like again, knowing yourself is important, because I'm like quite competitive and I know that you are too, Liz. And like sometimes running with other people who are relatively, you know, pretty fast or something, and you just want to try and like keep up with them or beat them, and then you end up sacrificing your own gains because you run too hard all the time. So I've definitely had that experience as well. So and there might be people listening who go to run clubs that run quite fast, and that's meant to be an easy run for you that day, and you end up running really fast and your heart rate's at 180 for the whole time that you're there. Like, we just need to understand that that may not be the best thing for you and what you're trying to achieve. So yeah, it is a fine balance, eh? And like finding what's right for you, the right recipe, because we'll all be a little bit different.
I reckon if you are someone who likes to go to a weekly run club and it's a speed session, take your Femi program along and get everybody else to do your session. You lead the session, you tell them, okay, this is what I have to do today, and then just get everybody else to do what's right for you. And then you get the best of both worlds. I totally get that's not always possible, but I think if it is possible, and sometimes people who have started run clubs love the community getting up and leading sessions. Like, I think that's what it's all about, is kind of like passing the baton, giving everyone an opportunity to lead. So like, go along and suggest that you're going to go and do your 6x1Ks at your 10K pace, and anybody else that wants to jump in with you can do so. So then you can like also have people around you, but controlling your pace and sticking to your program is like the most important thing. Because even now I have friends who, like, I know they love going to run clubs, and I actually have an athlete who I'm coaching one-to-one. She loves going to run clubs, and she's going to be like, she's sad to say goodbye to that. But I'm like, if you want to become a better runner, you just have to make some of these sacrifices. And like, I have one athlete who's like training for ultras, and she goes to this run club, and I know for a fact the sessions that they're doing are not built for ultra running, you know? And I'm like, it's better than nothing. Totally. Don't get me wrong. Going and doing those shorter speed sessions is better than not doing speed sessions at all. But if you're really focusing and putting that much emphasis and energy into something, then you should probably do what is actually right for you, and something that's going to get you to that next level, and not just kind of like keep you in this like holding pattern where you're not improving the way that you could be if you're doing what's right. So yeah, it's all a bit of a game. And I think that's why having like a coach and having expert advice is just important. We put so much, I think people don't realize, because we all love running. I'm sure everybody that is listening just loves running, but we actually put so much time and energy into the sport. And so I just think if you're going to put that much time and energy into something, you should be doing something that's actually right for your goals, not just something that's like fun to do but not going to get you there, you know?
Totally agree. We should do it, if we've got big goals and we're trying to achieve something, we've got to try to do it right if we're going to put that much energy into it. And that's why you should come to us. We have one-to-one coaching live, and yay, we launched that last week, and we've actually still got some spots open if people are keen. We're really excited to start one-to-one coaching again. It's something that we wanted to do for a while in the Femi app, but didn't have the capacity to build it in, but we've done it now. And so, yeah, essentially you get programs written by, depending on which coach you get, myself or Liz, programs written by us for any distance or whatever you're trying to achieve, whether you're trying to just build a base or get faster or build strength on hills, things like that. And then Lids and I have full access to your plan. We can see menstrual cycle data if you want to share it with us. We can amend your plan if you're sick, or say you do want to go to a run club every Friday. We'll put that in there. Femi Friday. You should go to Femi Friday. We'll put that in your plan, or you get sick or you get injured. Like, we can amend it all. And we can message you through the app as well and set up calls. So it's all through Femi, which is awesome, and it's something that we wanted to do for a really long time. So it's cool to actually have it in app now and be live.
We love that. We do. When we did one-to-one coaching when we first launched Femi, that's actually how we launched Femi. If you haven't been around since the start, and we worked with hundreds and hundreds of athletes over the first couple of years until we kind of switched our focus to build the app, and then now we're back. So we would love to work with you. If you want to go ahead, we've got all the links in our show notes, so you can go ahead and sign up there. Or if you have any questions, you can get at us on Instagram at Femi and send us a note. Questions, we're here to chat and help you out.
Yeah, love that. And then for anyone that made it this far from the initial yarns about what's coming out, it's been something that's been talked about for quite some time. Let's just think mountains. Let's think further than 42Ks and off-road type vibes. So you pretty much know exactly what's coming out from there.
Yeah. I actually put out a post about a month ago or so asking what race I should do next. And so we've just gone ahead and built programs for the race that everyone suggested that I should do. So I'm so excited to follow these programs. But yeah, they're going to be launching very soon. So keep your eyes peeled on our socials, and you can be some of the first to try them out. We have a very exciting podcast coming next week as well. We're going to be launching a pretty incredible event that we're going to be doing with our community in Melbourne, or anybody that wants to travel for Melbourne. So come back and listen to that episode. But in the meantime, we appreciate you all. We love you all. Thank you so much for listening. And we can't wait to chat to you all soon. Thanks, Est.
Thanks.